Good morning, everyone, and a very warm welcome to you all. Hope you've all made good use of the extra hour. Today we have three services. There is this service, we have the 11:30 interactive service, and the reflective service at 6:30. And tea and coffee will be served in the hall after this service, and everyone is welcome. I have some pastoral news. We have heard this week Parkin, who is Brenda Parkin's husband, has died. Please remember Brenda and all her family in your prayers. Rose Oming Barley has also had a family bereavement recently. Please remember her family also. Daphne Waters has had surgery but is now home with her family, so we wish Daphne well. Today is the final day to return your shoeboxes as part of the Link for Hope campaign. Let's hope for a bumper crop this year as in previous years. Thank you also to Sally and all her helpers for cajoling and encouraging us all to take part this year, and for all the organisation that's involved. So, what's next? Now that the shoeboxes are almost on their way on their long overland journey, it's time to think of the alternative Christmas card. I'm sorry to mention the Christmas word. It's still October, but there you go. Next week, we will be giving out the packs which contain all you need to take part. For those of you who don't know what I'm talking about, the basic idea of the card is you write one greeting on a label, you pay a donation to Christian Aid for the privilege, and your greeting is put into a combined booklet that we published just before Christmas. So you save on all the Christmas cards you would otherwise write to your church friends. So that's what you could donate. That's for next week. You will see some new paintings in the foyer. These are part of an up-and-coming exhibition from Carol Clack, and there are details about this on the service paper. Church News is published today. You will find a copy in the marked box in the vestibule, but the copies are no longer named, so just help yourself to one. You don't have to look for one with your name on, because it's not there. Please take your copy home with you. And finally, Sally.
A plea. We have Messy Church this afternoon. We're going to be doing some very, very basic craft work and some very simple sewing. But we don't have enough volunteers, really, to be honest. So if there's just one or two of you that feels that you could come and help oversee an activity, that would really be appreciated. We start at 3:30 and we go on till about 5:30 if you stay for the meal, but you could go home a bit earlier than that if you prefer. So one or two extras would be very helpful. Thank you.
Let us join together to worship God. Come, whether in sorrow or in joy, come, whether limping or running, come, for all are welcome in this place. Let us worship the one who is the ruler of the universe. We join to sing, now thank we all our God. don't sit down, don't sit down. Psalm. When the Lord brought us back to Jerusalem, it was like a dream. How we laughed, how we sang for joy. Then the other nations said about us, the Lord did great things for them. Indeed, God has done great things for us. How happy we were. Lord, make us prosperous again, just as the rain brings water back to dry riverbeds. Let those who wept as they planted their crops gather the harvest with joy. Those who wept as they went out carrying the seed will come back singing for joy as they bring in the harvest. Please be seated. We join to pray. Let us pray. Here we are, joined together, bringing our prayers of praise and thanks, listening to the Holy Spirit among us, here to learn more about God, more about Jesus, more about the Spirit that empowers us. Help us, O God, to approach you with open hearts and receptive minds. Focus on you, not the worries that tie us up. Each of us is a fragile human being, and we know our weaknesses, and we know that we have a tendency to sin. And we recognize that there have been times when we haven't noticed what it is that you've been showing us, because we've been so busy looking at other things. Open our eyes, Lord Jesus. Wipe the dust from our eyes. Blow the fog from our minds. And help us to receive your presence with us today so that we will recognize you every day as we travel. We pray in your name. Amen. We say the Lord's Prayer together. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us the day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Lord, the kingdom, the power and the glory, forever and ever. Amen.
Me, can you?
We can. Good.
What a lovely lot of people we've got this morning. Wow. Fill the front row. That's brilliant. Got enough seats? Well, I wore this silly hat this morning because I wanted to make quite sure that you noticed me. Thank you, Finlay. What hat, somebody says. I thought I might take it off, but I shall keep it on after that. How can we make ourselves noticed? How do we tell people that we want to say something or we want to show them something? How do your teachers get your attention at school? If you're out in the playground and you've got to line up, what do they do? When I was at school, they had a great big bell. And they rang the bell and we all had to line up. Yes, go.
Blow the whistle.
They blow a whistle, right. It might be. People with hearing aids, watch out. Right. Not a terribly good whistle. Yes.
In our school, we use bells.
You use bells. Right. Well, I haven't got a great big school bell, but I have got... It wouldn't work in a playground, but it's quite a nice sound. And my favourite, I'll put this down so that I can get it out. This is a bit of an antique. It belonged to my mum and dad. And in posh houses, not like ours, but in posh houses, if the servants had got the dinner ready, they would hit a great big gong. So everybody in the house would know that dinner was served. Now, in the Bible, there was a man called Bartimaeus, and you're going to hear about him this morning. He wanted to make himself heard, but he hadn't got a gong or a whistle or a bell.
Or a hat.
Or a hat. No, he couldn't have done. He certainly didn't have one like this. But he had his own voice. And sometimes the voice is the best thing if you've got a really loud one. Then sometimes the right thing to do is perhaps not to shout like Bartimaeus did because he wanted Jesus to notice him and make him better. Sometimes it's better to talk quietly if you want to tell people about Jesus. There are different ways of doing it. I wonder what you think. You can talk about it this morning.
And one of the ways that you talk about Jesus is not just in the words that you say, but in the things that you do. And one of the things that we do is we give boxes that go to Romania. And I wonder whether anybody has got any boxes that they've brought with them. Anybody else? Bring up your boxes, please. I know loads of people have been bringing them in through the week. These go to some of the people whose lives are the most challenging in the world. Beautiful. Thank you very much, Martin. There's more of them. Thank you. Let me do anything. Okay. There we are. My God. There's more in the vestry. We're not bringing them all out because they need sorted out. So we're going to say a prayer. So let's pray. Lord Jesus, we ask that you would bless these shoeboxes that we have brought today. And we ask that you would bless the people that will receive it, and we bless the transportation. And help us, Lord Jesus, to talk about you. Sometimes quietly, occasionally shouting, but very often through the people that we are and the things that we do. Lord, we pray. Amen. And we're going to sing, Jesus' hands were kind hands. So the reading from Jeremiah parallels the words that we said in the psalm. Promises of restoration drawn from a larger block of similar material in Jeremiah 30:31. The scattering of God's people and now the drawing back together with all the celebration. Natasha Reed will read this passage to us.
These readings are taken from the New English Bible, Jeremiah 31, verses 3 to 9. I dearly loved you from of old, and still I maintain my unfailing care for you. I will build you up again, O virgin Israel, and you shall be rebuilt. Again you shall adorn yourself with jingles and go forth with the merry throng of dancers. Again you shall plant vineyards on the hills of Samaria, vineyards which those who planted them defiled. For a day will come when the watchmen on Ephraim's hills cry out, Come, let us go up to Zion, to the Lord our God. For these are the words of the Lord. Break into shouts of joy for Jacob's sake. Let the nations crying loud and clear, sing out your praises and say, See how I bring them from the land of the earth. They are blind and lame among them, woman with child and woman in labor, a great company. They come home weeping as they come, but I will comfort them and be their escort. I will lead them to flowing streams, they shall not stumble. Their path will be so smooth. For I have become a father to Israel, and Ephraim is my eldest son. Thanks to God.
Amen. So you all now know that the story is the story of Bartimaeus. Jesus and his disciples are traveling towards Jerusalem, Passover pilgrims along the way. And in Jericho, the last stop for those who are on the pilgrimage route before they get to the city of David, they become part of a larger crowd. But as they make their progress, their journey is unexpectedly delayed by someone who is desperate. Janine Goddard will read this passage to us.
This is chapter Mark 10,
verses 46 to 52. They came to Jericho, and as Jesus was leaving with his disciples and a large crowd, a blind beggar named Bartimaeus, son of Timaeus, was sitting by the road. When he heard that it was Jesus of Nazareth, he began to shout, "Jesus, son of David, take pity on me." Many of the people scolded him and told him to be quiet, but he shouted even louder, "Son of David, take pity on me." Jesus stopped and said, "Call him." So they called the blind man. "Cheer up," they said. "Get up, he's calling you." He threw off his cloak, jumped up, and came to Jesus. "What do you want me to do for you?" said Jesus. "Teacher," the blind man answered, "I want to see again." "Go," Jesus told him. "Your faith has made you well." And at once he was able to see and followed Jesus on the road. Amen.
Amen. I have to say that the story in Mark's gospel is a million miles from me and my life. It's not that I don't believe it, it's that I don't feel it. My flabby, easy life, I have two parents that are alive, I've been married a long time, I've been pregnant twice, both my children are still alive. The only pregnancies that I know of, my daughters have been pregnant twice and we have two live children. Nobody's ill, nobody's overwhelmed by debt. I've got enough food, I've got political stability, I've got clean water, I've got a flushing toilet, my health and my fitness, I've got a good life, easy life, blah, 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 blah. So the question is, does all this ease keep me and people like me from the fullest and the deepest lives that I could have? The context of the story is interesting. One man comes to Jesus asking for eternal life, the rich young ruler, and Jesus tells him to give away all that he has. And two men, James and John, come to Jesus asking for status. And Jesus warns them that it will cost them. And the blind man comes to Jesus asking for mercy. James and John make their request for glory. Then we have this story. And then we have what status looks like from the perception of Jesus, which is the triumphal entry into Jerusalem, which has the shadow of the cross over the top of it. The people in the reading from Jeremiah have been desperate, and now they are in ecstasy. It was the normal policy when these large invading powers, Babylonians, Assyrians, went into a country, that what they did was they took the brightest and the best and they deported them. And that meant that, one, they had really class slaves, but two, it also meant that the political elite were less likely to organize insurrection. And now the time has come when the political climate has changed and God is at work, that they're coming home. And they're all coming home. The old and the young, the children, the pregnant, they're coming home. And there's great joy and there's great celebration. Hurrah, says God. And it's a story of inclusion. And let us get this party started, is what the psalm said and what the reading from Jeremiah said too. When was the last time that you had that celebratory feeling. When was the last time that you were brave enough to feel joy? When was the last time that you were brave enough to express it? To dance as though no one was watching? Or to sing from the bottom of your lungs? Not this, bah, 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 to sing from the bottom of your lungs. Rather than keeping your singing down, hiding your singing with others. And in the noise of the crowd, Bartimaeus is determined to make himself heard. Jesus, hi, Jesus, over here. And in the quiet of the conversation between the two of them, Jesus is determined to make himself heard. What can I do for you? He says. And he doesn't assume that what the man wants is his sight back. We might have our assumptions about disability and tragedy. We might think that the obvious thing that somebody wants is this particular issue sorted. I remember hearing a plastic surgeon once talking about how it was when people walked into the room. And he might think they walked in with a massive nose, but he didn't say, all right, I'll sort your nose out. He would say to them, what can I do for you? Because what you think of a problem and what I think of your problems, they're not the same. So Jesus doesn't presume that this is all about the man's blindness. And we might well look and say, oh, come on, sort your blindness, sort the guy's blindness out. His life will be so much more easy. But there are plenty of stories when people look back on their lives, when they reflect that the tragedy or the disability actually was the richest time. It's not something that you can engineer and not something that you can be blithe about talking about in public. And I certainly have got lots of experience of people when tragedy struck, that was the time when they grew the most. Is it possible that when you think of your life, the richest times have not been the easiest? And is it possible that our lives are not all that they could be, and it's not because we don't have enough stuff, or the fact that the neighbours are noisy, or the fact that we've got a corn on our big toe? It's just because what we've tried to do is keep our lives small and safe. And we haven't been brave enough, and we haven't risked enough. And is it possible that Jesus is asking us, encouraging us to boldly ask him what our heart's desires are? I would say that there are people in this space who have got things that are going on in their lives, and I would suggest that they wouldn't ask him. Why not? Well, it's probably about pride somewhere. It's also about prayer, understanding of prayer, what prayer is about. It's also about that whole vibe about, you know, my life is about me and I manage it myself. Thank you very much. That's what being an adult's about. Yeah, of course, we have to take responsibility, but we have to be people who are asking God to help us too. And it's not cheating to ask the Almighty for help. It's not cheating. Who do we think we are? And life is not about the straight lines. Life is about the miraculous things that happen as they weave and they change, and the mysterious things that turn up. So the crowd, they're not happy with Bartimaeus. Chop! Chop! Be quiet! Stop your inappropriate behaviour. Stop making a noise. They scold him. He is making, what the word is, he is making a loud noise and they don't like it. He is desperate. The man is desperate. And he's also faithful. And he believes that Jesus can do something for him. And this is his chance, and he is going to seize it. Encountering Jesus sometimes makes people behave in ways that are beyond polite manners. I was speaking the week before last, to somebody who said something was said, I think it was in a song, and she just wanted to shout at the top of her voice, "Alleluia." And I've had people say that to me before. They just wanted to shout, "Alleluia." Oops, did they? Just wanted to give thanks. And they didn't. And the reason that she didn't is because of the pressure of the way groups work. Because if she'd shouted, "Alleluia," she would have felt that she was behaving inappropriately in a group where people don't shout, "Alleluia." And it's a shame. It's a shame. So I encourage you, next time you feel like shouting "Alleluia," do it. Do it. And if you do feel like shouting "Alleluia" and you don't do it, don't tell me afterwards, because you know what you're going to get. Do it. Sometimes we have to remember that our faith is not just about our intellectual knowledge, it's also about our heartfelt passion, and it's also about our dependence on Jesus. It's not about a cool calculation sometimes, it's something that demands loud "Alleluias," inappropriate dancing, and expressions of joy. That's okay. So Bartimaeus calls out to Jesus and calls him the Son of David. So he knows who he is. He hasn't met him. We assume that he hasn't met him, but he certainly has heard about him. And he has hope that Jesus can sort out this blindness. Let me ask you, what is going on for you that you've never asked him about? And why not? It's a gloriously brave thing to ask. It puts Jesus at the center. It put Jesus on the spot. And Bartimaeus, when he says, "Jesus, can you help me?" sets Jesus up to fail. Sets it up for failure. And he exposes his desperation to the crowd. And then at the end of the story, Jesus says, "Your faith has made you well." And that language is only other used in one other context, and it's the story of the woman with the flow of blood, who is, again, desperate. She speaks clearly. No mincing around the edges. "Help me, I need you. Help me, I need you." We're not people brought up to need anybody. We're encouraged to look after ourselves. That's what our society values. But how would it be if we actually were brave enough to say to him, "Help me, I need your help"? Or is it possible that we have been taken for fools, bought off with stuff, and so at the end we will only live half the life that we might have lived? Let us pray. Lord Jesus, help us to know what we really want. And let us be brave enough to ask you. Lord, we pray. Amen. Father, I place into your hands, we join to sing. Have a seat. We join to pray. Pray for those who are in darkness. Those who feel they have little to offer. Those who can't see light, not even a pinprick of light in the night time that they have currently got to endure. We ask for the candle in their hearts to be relit and for those around them to be inspired to help them, to intervene and to intercede on their behalf. And those in darkness to be able to recognize an outreached hand that would offer them help. We pray for those who are unsure of the way ahead, those who struggle to discern the right thing to do and the right way to go. Give them insight and wisdom to perceive the right course of action, understand what is needed, and then the discipline, the joy, the courage to do it. We pray for those who've been hindered by unhelpful or untrue expectations, asking that you would untangle the muddle that they find themselves in, allowing them to see your truth and your grace. Pray for those who are ignorant and violent when it comes to the truth that can be found and experienced in other people's religion. And for those who see that the only way to act is through violence. Whether the violence of weapons or the violence of the tongue. We offer to you, O God, the week that lies ahead of us, and we ask that you would help us in that week, and that we would see you and celebrate your presence with us. Lord our God, receive the prayers we offer and raise in us an expectation that you, who are God of love, would want to hear our heartfelt prayers. We pray in your name, Lord Jesus. Amen. So let's continue our worship as we make our offering. Let us pray. We return this money because the gifts and the talents that have enabled us to earn it are your gift to us. We return these lives, for every minute is your gift to us, and we thank you. Amen. Join to sing our final hymn, O Jesus, I Have Promised. Remaining as we are, let us pray. Go before us, sight-giving God, shining your light on the way ahead. May our lives burn bright for you in all we do and in all we say. And all God's people said, Amen.